In war, soldiers must make split-second decisions about who is a threat and who is not. In a chaotic shooting incident on the streets of a peaceful U.S. city, though, who is a threat may seem simpler. The one crazed gunman scenario makes it simple unless there are other well-meaning people on the street carrying legal concealed weapons. And when those weapons come out, then the situation multiplies in danger and complexity. Add to that a second assailant, not obvious, and a gun owner defender can easily become a victim, which is exactly what happened to legal gun owner Joseph Robert Wilcox, who tried to stop Jared Miller, a man who killed a cop in Las Vegas Walmart parking lot shooting a few weeks back. Wilcox failed to notice a woman nearby with a shopping cart and a handbag full of weapons. It was Miller's wife, Amanda, who pulled one of her weapons and killed Wilcox. It cost him his life. It's a set of facts that led our next guest to think a lot about what it means to be a good guy with a gun, a motto the NRA has long used. Adam Weinstein is a writer for Gawker and a longtime gun owner whose voice, he says, is often missing from the gun debate.
I've had a concealed weapons permit in Florida since I was 21, since I was legally able, raised by three generations of gun collectors and gunsmiths and enthusiasts. It's always been a part of my life, and it's always been something that I've tried to be a little circumspect about. And what I found is that just over the years, as you know, the United States gets more interconnected, we get busier and busier. The universe of scenarios in which carrying a weapon is sensible and useful just sort of shrinks evermore. And what struck me by Las Vegas and what happened to Joseph Wilcox, who was a law-abiding armed citizen, was that this was one of those scenarios that would be a no-brainer to most of us who carry concealed weapons. Well, here's an active shooter in front of us. This is something that we can and should do something about. And it didn't work out for him. You know, he was tragically killed. And there are so many scenarios, above and beyond the one that we saw play out two Sundays ago, things that you have to think about as a concealed weapons holder. You know, if I'm going armed, do I have a revolver? Do I have an automatic? Am I carrying a single action, double action? You know, you think about the safety and how easily available it is for you to use if it becomes necessary. You think about things, or should think about things, like if I have a confrontation in an active shooter situation, how do I know the difference between the active shooter and, say, a plainclothes policeman? How do I identify myself safely as a law-abiding citizen who's now carrying a firearm openly in a situation like that? And, you know, these are just a set of scenarios that, as we have this debate in America about gun rights, we talk about rights on the left and the right, and nobody is really talking about the responsibilities that come with those rights.
And just, as a, failed mathematician, the complexity of this situation, once you add the woman with the handbag and the shopping cart, is multiplied by maybe a factor of 10, not simply the addition of one other shooter. If you're going to suspect the woman with the shopping cart, you also have to suspect almost everybody else in the parking lot at that point. And there's no training for that.
Absolutely. Life is complex. You know, it is a complex equation. And while I want to be sympathetic to the NRA's line of the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy. But, you know, even as a good guy with a gun, you're adding a gun into the equation makes the equation more complex. So we have assailants with guns. We have civilians with guns. And I don't inherently have a problem with that. You know, as long as we are talking about the responsibilities and the training that comes with that and the recognition of the complexity of that equation in modern society, that seems to be a discussion we're just not having.
Now, the discussions between you and your wife have changed a lot since this incident. Tell us about how that's evolved.
Yeah. We have come into this conversation with different biases. My wife is the daughter of a 30-year veteran of the state police here in Florida, the Florida Highway Patrol, who actually lost a partner in a shootout, and guns were seen as a necessary evil in her household only for law enforcement. And if you weren't law enforcement, you weren't trained and continually being trained on weapons, you were probably a nut with a gun. And speaking as a family of those nuts, we came from different places to sort of discuss this. She thought that Mr. Wilcox should have been running away from the action all the way. And I'm sympathetic to that. And I think that 9 times out of 10, maybe 99 times out of 100, that is the way that you need to go. But if there's any space for, you know, self-defense discussion in America, certainly that seemed like it fit the criteria. And so when we had this discussion about our own family, all of the complexities and all of the complications sort of came a lot simpler when we had our own son. I want him to be raised as a responsible gun enthusiast. I would love him to shoot with me. I would love him to understand that, you know, you never pull a trigger on something that you don't intend to shoot. But you can't predict if even your well-trained son doesn't have a moment of weakness or a moment of pique or anger. And so for us, it was a wise decision not to keep our weapons in the house. And I don't know if that's a decision for everybody, but I wish that everybody would be asking these questions.
So you wrote this piece called It's Really Hard to Be a Good Guy with a Gun. I suspect you've gotten more than a little reaction. Has any of it included, oh, so you're just a softie. You're just not brave enough to step in there. That's all this is about.
Yeah, there has been a bit of that backlash, and I anticipated that in the piece. I actually write about that feeling. But there are 300 million guns, something like that, in the United States. Not all of them are in the hands of criminals or of people that we would prefer to sort of walk away if we saw them walk into a Chili's with an AR-15 on their backs. There are a lot of law-abiding gun owners, and they wish that everybody else was as responsible as them, and I think they acknowledge that they need to be more responsible too. And so I was actually really encouraged to hear how many people on all of the sides of a really kind of passionate, bloody debate sometimes saying, you know, this is something we don't really discuss very often, the actual nuts and bolts of how it works to carry a gun and to use it possibly, or be prepared to use it at least. And of course, you know, you got a bunch of other folks who are to the right of maybe even the National Rifle Association who said, well, you know, it's not for you, it's for us because we're stronger and harder and smarter.
Maybe you're the critical piece here, you know, in this debate. I mean, this ridiculous, absurd debate where everybody's PR machine moves into action when little kids die or civilians die or people on street corners die senselessly. We never hear you. We always hear, you know, oh, well, this is an opportunity for the anti-gun lobby to, you know, make prohibition the law of the land. Oh, this is an opportunity for the NRA to push back and scare more senators and congressmen. We never hear you.
You know, John, the crazy thing to me is as the responsibility of owning a gun to me requires more and more circumspection on the part of us gun owners, the law's going in the other direction. I mean, if you look here in Florida, it's unrecognizable from when my father might have gotten his concealed carry permit 30 years ago. First of all, the class that you take for instruction is basically a turnstile that you can take at a gun show in 30 minutes. They don't go through many of these scenarios. Your duty to retreat from a nasty situation before escalating it with a gun kind of goes away with stand your ground. You can carry in more places than I ever would have imagined, courthouses, sporting arenas, malls. And we just passed a law that it permits people to fire warning shots or to brandish their weapon, which would have been unthinkable to me as I was learning to shoot and learning to be responsible with weapon. So the thing is, even as we need to be more responsible, we need to be more circumspect about this and having this discussion, the law is not really encouraging that. It's encouraging hypervigilance. It's encouraging people to be rugged individualists that don't consider the actions of themselves and the consequences may have for other people. And it's kind of scary.
All right. Well, you know, don't keep silent out there.
Thanks very much.
Adam Weinstein is a longtime gun owner and a senior writer for Gawker.com. He spoke with us from Tallahassee, Florida.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.